Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to the Flawsome Mum podcast. This is like the fourth time I've done this, but anyway, this is our first ever podcast, which I am sure in true Flawsome tradition is going to go horrendously wrong, so please do be warned. If you don't know what the Flawsome Mum is, we are a Facebook page with more than 100,000 followers, created because we're flawed, but we think we're awesome, and we are sick of seeing perfect parents with perfect children on their perfect social media feeds. When we started it, we had absolutely no idea how it was going to go, but now we know that there are hundreds and thousands of mums out there just like us who just get by. We make it work by living on a diet of coffee and wine and usually crash from one crisis to another. The only thing we can be relied upon is to have a sense of humour about most of our lives. I'm Frances Sheen and this is Amy Sinclair.
Hello.
And between us we have five kids and a lot of stories that we're not always proud to tell. But as this is the point of this entire podcast and we know we're among friends, we're going to dive in. So, Amy.
Hi.
Thank you for coming today, Amy.
Thank you for having me, Frances.
You have three kids.
I do. I have three kids. I have a boy, Max, who's 18.
He's a man.
He's a man now. He's 18. And the thing with my children is that I have big age gaps and I'm in very different levels of parenting with all of them. So I've got Max, who's 18 and obviously a teen slash adult. Queenie is my daughter and she's 12. My youngest is Gus and he is just 7.
Quiet life for you then?
Very quiet. You know, they don't give me any trouble. And, you know, I'm really good with things like homework and lunches and being really organized. Yeah, not.
Which
not
is going to lead us into our first story.
I have to say, book week, science week, anything like that is my worst time as a mother. And it's just a constant reminder of just how crap I am. Really? And
I'm sure your children wouldn't agree, right?
Oh, I think they would. And I get all the, you know, they, especially my daughter, she would prepare me and say, you know, next week's book week, we have to get a costume organized. And I'm like, I am on top of it. I know exactly what we're doing. And every single time the morning of, I'm like, oh, what are we going to do? But my worst one, and I've had some absolute shockers, but my worst one was History Week. And I mean, what is even History Week? Why are we dressing up for History Week or Science Week?
What do you do at History Week?
It was like they did these things all week and one day they had to go dressed as an historical figure. And I just completely forgot about it. So the morning of, and I'm talking the morning of, it was 9:10 that we had to leave. At 8:10 we had to leave. And at 8 o'clock, my daughter and my son, who were about... I think they were about 6 and 11 or 6 and 12 at the time, came out and they said, "Mum, we've got to go dress as an historical figure. What can we wear?" And I was just absolutely
amazing.
Yeah, dumbstruck. So...
Plus the fact you've got to get to work, right?
Yeah, get to work. I'm pretty sure I was pregnant at the time. Just everything... Terrible morning. But I am very good in a crisis. I will say that about myself. So what did I do? I was like, okay.
Opened a bottle of wine.
Open bottle of wine at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then what is an historical figure? I know. They can be mummies. So I ran into the bathroom, got like 5 rolls of toilet paper, made them stand still, and I proceeded just to wrap every single limb in toilet paper. Took me ages and I'm just wrapping them and wrapping them and wrapping them. And by the end of it, they literally were. They were like two little mummies just standing there and they had their school uniform underneath. And to be honest, I was pretty proud of myself. I thought this is a good save. They were just like, are we really going to school with toilet paper wrapped around me? No, it wasn't. But this is the thing. So we go out, rush to the car, we get in the car, and what you don't think about it with toilet paper is, of course, they've got little perforated lines. So as soon as they lifted the knee or went to sit in the car, the whole thing just went and it ripped apart. So I ran back into the house, got some like thick packing sellotape, ran back out and started wrapping them all.
The actual
hell. And hell. Started wrapping them in sellotape to try and keep the toilet paper together. And it's just going and going and going. So not only did they go to school wrapped in toilet paper, they also had like, you know, an entire roll of sellotape around them also. I can't believe they let me do it. I mean, that's the staggering part. They go to school.
I bet there's people there dressed as Napoleon.
Oh, my gosh. I mean.
And who'd gone to Spotlight and spent $60 on.
You know, the mum had hand tapestry, you know, done a hand tapestry of like a World War II motif that they wore across the thing. And that was the worst part, you know, like you pull up outside the school and I'm always, you know, late and I'm skidding in. And I'm, right, let's go, let's go. And they get out and my kids are wrapped in toilet paper and sellotape. And Joan of Arc in a makeshift canoe is coming the other way with her mum dressed in the Lorna Jane yoga wear and I've got half a face of makeup and...
Are they scarred for life?
Slippers. The photos of it are literally their favourite ever. And they always pull them out. So remember the time you sent us to school wrapped in toilet paper?
How long did the toilet paper last?
This was the other thing that I didn't quite think through. I was going to the toilet. So my son said that. But I said, oh, how did it go? Like, oh, you, when I went, you know, in the afternoon, I said, oh, you're not wearing the uniforms. And my son said, well, it was kind of difficult at morning tea. I needed to go to the toilet.
He had to
my
unwrap
entire
himself.
Area was wrapped in sellotape. And he said it took about three teachers to get it all off just so I could go to the toilet. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Amazing. Amazing. I don't know how to top that.
Go for it. I know you can.
I have never dressed my kids in costumes only because I'm too unorganised to even remember that it is History Week.
Even last year for Book Week, I had to put my daughter in aluminium foil to make her the Tin Man.
What?
And same problem. She starts walking across the road and I can see it ripping and I'm literally jumping in my car, taking off.
I did see something somewhere where somebody just got their kid to hold a toaster for Book Week and said that they were page 25 of the Kmart catalogue.
I'm so doing that.
That's another one. Okay, my first story, I've got two daughters, Ruby who's 11, Ivy who's 9, and Ivy would have been about 18 months. Mm-hmm. And I had to go up to the chicken shop to get some chicken for dinner and there was a queue, it was a Friday night, and I was angry. I was just angry with the world. And we stood in the queue.
I can relate to that.
And Ivy was being toilet trained, didn't know really what she was doing, and said, I need a wee. And I thought, oh, I've got two options here. One, I can take her out and we can be good citizens. Or two, I can just pretend she's not said a word to me.
I didn't hear a thing.
And so we're standing in the queue and it's literally packed. It's a packed chicken shop. And she's got like a summer dress on. So it wasn't, you know, going to be obvious what was going on. And she just weed on the floor.
Yeah.
And I looked down and I moved my feet. I didn't stand in it. I looked at Ivy and I went, shh. And she said, my legs are wet. And I said, no, they're not. Shh, shh, shh. And people all around me were standing in wee going, has someone weed? And I was like, oh, no. That's disgusting. That's horrible. Bent down, took Ivy's knickers off, put them in my pocket. Got no my chicken. Knew. No one got hurt.
Yeah. Got my chicken and chips. I'm out of there.
The whole chicken shop smelled of wee.
That happened to me once in Freedom with Max when he was a baby. We were walking through and I hear this, uh-oh, and I turn around and there's this big wee there and I was just like, looked around, no one's there.
Keep on walking.
Come on, Maxie. Let's go. Come on. Let's go to the couch section.
A friend of mine had a dog that pooed on the floor in the base warehouse, which is like a glorified reject shop. And they took their new puppy in there and the puppy pooed on the floor. They just walked off.
Right now the base warehouse is going, that's who did that.
Yeah, I have not said her name now, just in case the base warehouse.
It was a friend.
Okay. But not me.
A friend.
I don't have a puppy. Honest. Okay, story number three, Amy. This is my favourite Amy story ever.
This is a corker. So as I said, my daughter's name is Queenie, which is obviously quite an unusual name. And I don't know why. I've always loved the name Queenie. Even when I was a little girl, I have no idea where I heard it, where it came from, but I always loved it. But when I was pregnant, we knew we were having a girl, and I always said all the way through that I was going to call her Queenie. And I, you know, Max is quite a normal name, and so I never really got much backlash, but I got a lot of backlash when I would tell people that that's what I wanted to call her. And my husband was always really on board with the name, but we got so much, you know, just negativity about the name that by the time I had her, I'd kind of really, it soured and I'd gone off the name. And so we called her Scarlett, which is a beautiful name, and we love it. We loved it. And
disclaimer.
It's still her middle name.
Do you run with a daughter called Scarlett?
Love that name. It's amazing. But from when she was born, it just never felt quite right. And I never thought that I would be the sort of person that would change my child's name, but apparently I am. And when she was about 6 months old, and it wasn't just that. Anyone who knows Queenie now, you know, she's quite a drama queen. She's quite over the top, and she was as a baby.
I was going to say she's quite drunk. She's quite dry.
She will be in 10 years' time when she takes after her mother, but at the moment, no, she is quite – she's very over the top. She's very – and the name Queenie really suits her. And as a baby, we even sort of – the name Scarlett just never sat well with us and didn't suit her at all. So we started talking about, well, do we just change it? Do we just make it Queenie? And we were sort of thinking, well – we could just call her that and that could be the nickname. But then we thought we don't want to go through life sort of – it's like I never even get Prince Harry. You know, he was born Henry, but everyone calls him Prince Harry. It's just, why wouldn't you just call him Harry?
Anyway,
I digress again. But so we decide, you know what, let's just do it. Let's just change it. But we knew that if people didn't like the name Queenie, then they definitely weren't going to like the fact that we were changing her perfectly lovely name of Scarlett to Queenie at 6 months. So we did this big stealth operation where we were going to do it without really even telling anyone. But my favourite part of the story is that, so we were at my mum's house, my mum and dad's house, and they lived about 2 hours north of us. And we went there and, you know, we were there and my husband came running and goes, I've done it. And I said, what? And he said, I found a justice of the peace who lives three blocks away. Let's tell your mum that we're going for a walk, like Kath and Kim style, heading out for a brisk walk. And we'll put our running gear on and we'll go for a walk. We'll go see the justice of the peace at her house.
Wait, what would your mum have said then? She'd have talked you out of it.
They just would have said, you're insane. What are you doing?
To be fair,
it's, and that's what I mean. I mean, if people, and another disclaimer, my mum actually has always loved the name Queenie and she was never an opponent, but I just think that it's a big ask for anyone to change their child's name when they're 6 months old. And I mean, I think they even wrote a story in the paper about the time how insane I was to change her name, and not only that, to change it to something like Queenie, and that she was going to get ridiculed her whole life. She hasn't, FYI, I think. But so we put on our jogging gear and we go out to my mum and we say, we're going to go for a bit of a power walk. And she's like, you what? I mean, you know, I do not exercise for one. And, you know, and she's like, you what? And I said, we're going to go for a power walk together. We'll be back in an hour or so. And she's like, well, that's just weird. And I was like, anyway, well, and she's, what are those papers for you? Because my husband had to print out all the papers that you had to get signed by the justice. Anyway, so off we went. We power walk around to this – we track down this woman at her home, knock on the door, and she's like – and we're like, we want to change our daughter's name. And she was like, okay. And it was just the most bizarre experience. And she was just like, so her name's Scarlett, which is a lovely name, and you want to change it to Queenie. And we're like, yep, we do. No judgment, just love and support. Sign the papers. And she did. And we came back and we got to the front gate and my husband said, so what now? And I'm like, oh, I guess we've got to tell people now. And yeah, we went in and I said, so we didn't go for a power walk. In the end, we went and changed Scarlett's name to Queenie.
And then was it hard then getting people to call her Queenie?
It was very odd. It was incredibly odd. And people just didn't get it. They just thought it was the most ridiculous thing that we've ever done. But it was surprisingly
easy.
And maybe
it was, but it worked.
It was, and it was surprisingly easy. And everyone just went along with it. And we just changed her – we changed her birth certificate and it was very easy. And, you know, a few people kind of – even still, like, will call her Scarlett to us. And we don't really care because they're just kind of being – you know, difficult.
I think in this day and age, Queenie's now kind of normal.
Yeah.
12 years ago, it was quite out there.
Oh, it was very out there. And her friends, I mean, she's in high school and her friends, you know, I think she gets a little bit of people don't believe that they think that her real name's Scarlett and that we just call her that. But she's shown them and it's all fine. But yeah.
I met a kid the other day called Kaniki.
Yeah.
Named after.
Really? After.
The guy in Greece.
I was going to say, not Happy Days, Greece. Yeah. Oh.
And I don't, you know, anything goes these days.
I mean,
you can't slag off anyone's name.
You really can't. I mean, and you know, I think in Queenie's year, she's got like, you know, Shania, Celine, Mariah, the whole 80s, you know, and I've heard Armani. I heard a kid once called Dolce & Gabbana.
You did
I
not.
I did not. We did a story. It was, yeah, this family and they had like, there was a daughter called Chanel, one called Dolce & Gabbana, another called Armani, and there was another one too. Amazing. Boss, I think it was something like that. As in Hugo.
It couldn't be Hugo because that would be too
normal. Would be too normal. Had to be Boss.
Well, that's three stories down, about 50,000 more to go.
Yeah.
But that's our first podcast done and dusted. We didn't swear.
We didn't swear. We
didn't drink wine.
We didn't drink wine. We didn't swear.
Let's just keep going backwards and forwards with that.
That's a big thing in our world.
If you want to follow the Flawsome Mum, you can head to our Facebook site, which is on Facebook, called the Flawsome Mum, where we want to hear your stories of parenting stories that you are not proud of but you don't mind telling because it's going to amuse everybody else.
And we've all got a million of them.
Amy's got some great ones to come up in the second episode. Make featuring a rogue knit.
Oh, knits. Me, Amy versus knits could be its own podcast.
You can subscribe to us on iTunes or find us on Omni. I don't know how you spell Omni. O-M-N-Y. Let's go with that, shall we?
Let's just go with that. Do you want a wine?
Let's have a wine. But come back for the second episode, which will be
very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.